Thank you, Wayne Newton, for that fabulous intro. You're listening to Cats with the Dish. This is John Katzlamitas of Greenspun Media Group. I write the Cats Report, LasVegasSun.com, Las Vegas Sun, LasVegasWeekly.com, Las Vegas Weekly, and I contribute to all of our fabulous titles. And on the phone with me this week is my esteemed co-host and dear friend, Tricia McCrone. Tricia.
Hi, welcome from Montana.
You're in Montana.
Howdy.
Calling from, where are you precisely in Montana at this
moment? I just got off of Flathead Lake, and I came into a restaurant in Big Fork, which
Big
you know
Fork.
Well, Cats. We hit this place quite a few times.
Which is the restaurant? Is it the sushi place?
No, the sushi place was closed. I talked to Drake. The sushi place was closed. It opened until 5.
Oh.
But we're at, it's something with the latitude, 44 or something like that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I know where that is.
Something to do with latitude, but then I'm going to head over for the Huckleberry, homemade Huckleberry ice cream and cupcake ice cream at Sweet Peaks.
Right.
It's a day you've done many times with me in Montana.
I can taste the Huckleberry, and I miss you terribly, and I'm sorry I couldn't be there until...
I know, you're supposed to be here with me. This is wrong.
I know. It's a new tradition, and I'm going to try mightily to make it up there later in July. Get out of this ungodly heat, because if you take a Huckleberry ice cream cone out into the outside right now in Las Vegas in this weather, it would melt inside of 6 seconds. So
then you don't want to hear that it's like 74, 75 and sunny here.
It's freezing. Did you bring a ski mask?
Yeah, compared to Vegas, it's freezing.
Did you bring mittens?
I actually was too cold to go out last night because I didn't have enough warm clothes because it was like 45, 50 degrees last night. I'm like, I'm too cold. I stayed home on 4th of July because it was too cold.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Well.
So now, you know what I'm doing. I am just living life, enjoying the outdoors, and just happy as can be. So I want to hear what's been going on in Vegas. What is going on there? I miss it. Well, I don't really miss it because I'm having fun, but I want to hear.
It's as you remembered it. we had the big fireworks display that we've always done. The two big things were the station casinos fired up their fireworks off the rooftops of most of their hotels. And that's a big splashy thing. And then the Summerlin Parade went on yesterday. 2 hours of marching bands and revelry out there.
Sounds very fun and hot.
It was very hot and very fun. And then it rained. We got this weird rainstorm that came in and kind of made everything humid and dangerous on the roadways for a couple of hours yesterday. And a bunch of collective friends of ours went over to the Frankie Moreno show. There were no fireworks by definition that went off in the room.
There probably could have been.
There was a lot. It was explosive nonetheless.
It was an explosive night nonetheless. Well, Friday night before I left town, I saw my Buckeye, Jeff Timmons. I saw the show Wired.
Mm-hmm. What did you think of that, Dishy? Because I only saw about 4 or 5 minutes of that for undisclosed reasons. What did you think of that show?
Could it have something to do with me? It was something that you signed up for me?
No. I got hit with, just in general, I got hit with a wave of people who wanted to talk to me about what was going on in their lives for pitching me stuff for columns. So
It was fun. You know, Jeff's just a great guy, and it was fun, and he's just loving performing. We had a great crowd. It was a really good crowd. He had a lot of friends. And as a matter of fact, even our guest for this week was out with me. So it was Stephanie Sanchez. So
right on.
It was just great to see Jeff performing. I finally got to meet Amanda, Jeff's wife, and his children. Anytime a Buckeye gets a show, I'm happy.
Yeah.
I'm there to support.
It's such a unique booking. We have somebody who's gained national fame as one of the founders of 98 Degrees doing what is really a free show on Fridays over there at Ovation, right? Just Fridays. And it's a dance show. It's a show to be appreciated from the audience and interactive. And I know that he runs around and gets right into the audience. So it has a lot going
for it. Yeah, and when he unzipped the hoodie and showed off the chest, the dance floor got a lot crowded, mainly with females. And lots of flashes, including my own. I actually had to tweet a picture and say, He came out. He just unzipped the hoodie. I went down to investigate. I took the picture, and then I put, "You're welcome, ladies."
Nice. Well, we've got to get into our guest this week. You've already mentioned her name, Stephanie Diana Sanchez, a very good friend.
One of our best friends. We can't love her enough. She's amazing.
Yes, totally a big fan of hers, personally and professionally. She's got a gig coming up at the Courtyard at House of Blues, so she'll be up shortly. But first, we have Josh Bell, and we ask you to stick around because I know we will.
This is Wayne Newton, and if you're not listening to Cats with the Dish, I'm going to knock you on your ass, pal. Yes! Yeah!
You have to get out of there right now, okay?
The antidote is cooking.
No. Connors is on the way. He's coming to you right now.
There's 8 minutes left.
You're going to wait there for 8 minutes after what I just told you.
I'm going to get everybody out.
That's Andrew Garfield as Peter Parker, a.k.a. the superhero Spider-Man, and Emma Stone as his love interest Gwen Stacy, in the new superhero origin story, The Amazing Spider-Man. I'm Josh Bell, film critic for Las Vegas Weekly, with a look at what's new in theaters this week. Just 5 years after Sam Raimi's Spider-Man 3, The Amazing Spider-Man retells the character's origin yet again, in competent but unexceptional fashion, with decent performances, mediocre action, and passable special effects. It takes the movie an hour to get the teenage Peter Parker, played by Andrew Garfield, powered up and into his Spidey suit, with exactly zero surprises along the way. By the time the climactic battle turns out to be yet another showdown atop a huge skyscraper, it's clear that the movie doesn't have a single original idea going for it. I give The Amazing Spider-Man 2.5 stars out of 5. Also opening this week is Woody Allen's To Rome with Love, which intercuts 4 unrelated stories that all take place in the gorgeous Italian city.
Oh my gosh, my friend, Monica, she called. She's going to be in Rome, and I told her she could stay with us.
So I'll finally get to meet her.
She just broke up with her boyfriend, so she's a bit at loose ends.
Trouble. Trouble in River City.
That's Jesse Eisenberg, Greta Gerwig, and Alec Baldwin in the best of the 4 segments, which features Eisenberg as a young man who's torn between his stable girlfriend, played by Gerwig, and her flighty friend, played by an excellent Ellen Page, all while he gets advice from an older man, played by Baldwin, who may or may not be a future version of himself. All 4 stories share that whimsical, magical realist tone, and all 4 have their charms, even if they're modest. Sometimes the various stories fit together awkwardly, but Rome is an enjoyable side trip all the same. I give it 3 stars out of 5. That's a look at what's new in theaters this week. Check out my reviews in Las Vegas Weekly and online at joshbellhateseverything.com. Well, I'm just a devil with a lemon to spare, so Viva
Las Vegas! Viva! Welcome back. Sitting with us now is one of our favorite people, which means she is one of our favorite guests.
My favorite.
She spent 9 years as the singer in Fantasy at Luxor, a run that ended famously in 2009, November 2009, right? Her latest CD is all about Las Vegas. That's where she was born and was raised. It's called Small Town. And on July 19th, she is performing at the Courtyard at House of Blues. Welcome back, our friend Stephanie Diana Sanchez, Abdul-Jabbar Vicario.
I think you've interviewed me under most names.
I think I have. I have. I have interviewed you under quite a few surnames. That's right.
That's right.
Yeah.
Now, Steph, the two of you are in here, and you two are two of my best friends in the entire world. And I do have to say prior to the fact, prior to us becoming close friends, I was like, I am so confused. She's Stephanie Diana. She's Stephanie Jordan. She's Stephanie Sanchez. What the heck? Like, what is this girl?
What's going on with this surname? It's a surname palooza.
And now I just call you Stella, getting your groove back.
Stella,
that's all I call you now.
My groove back.
I have a feeling we're going to be on a stretch of guests with many names.
Exactly. We did it too with Lena Giroux. Lena Giroux.
I just predict.
Like,
it's a theme.
I don't know what's coming up in the future, but there's going to be a lot of names happening.
Well, my
happening
family
on
calls me Diana. My friends in the show call me Singer.
Yeah, so I love just calling Singer.
Now, Singers, that's for the sewing machine because you're such a seamstress, right?
Fabulously. So, yes. Yeah. I can stitch.
You got us in stitches.
Stitch,
Singer for the vocal quality. Is that right?
There you go.
Yeah.
I want to tell a Stephanie Diana Sanchez story. This dates to one of your former surnames.
I'll listen.
I don't know if I've told you this story. I was covering in 2008, I think it was. Maybe 08, 09, near the end of your run in Fantasy. I was covering a fight. at Planet Hollywood.
The great fight of 09.
And Tori Holt was involved in this fight, was on the main event. It was a fight that ended in the first round. They were looking before the fight for somebody to sing the national anthem. I think their anthem singer had fallen out, I believe.
Is this? There was.
This is the one that was at the
indoors or outdoors?
Indoors at the
okay.
TPA.
Yeah, they had fallen out. Well, yeah. Both of them had fallen out. Yeah.
And so I had just written a story about you in Las Vegas Weekly about maybe a few months earlier, and you took the call to go up and sing the national anthem without preparation in the ring, as I remember it. She comes out and nails it.
Okay,
and everybody's like, "Who is that woman?" And I was telling all the guys at ringside, "All your like life story, like I was a genius or something." Yeah,
I know.
And
oh,
that was
God.
The first time I think I ever saw you sing.
You do when it comes to performing, you have.
You
no
had
fear.
A couple cocktails in you the other day. Yeah,
the mm-hmm. same. Well, very similar. And this is a day I had more cocktails in me, and luckily it was Grand Marnier, which is my liquid of choice before I sing.
As we know, yes, of course.
I didn't.
And
there's always Grand Marnier on your
you
possession.
You only
at
drink
some point.
Grand Marnier after you sing and before you sing.
And by the way, you are the only person I've ever met that keeps Grand Marnier in a flask.
And my flask.
Most people have whiskey, tequila. She's like, it's Grand Marnier.
It's
like,
okay, it's classy.
Okay, so continue. This
Grand
is
Marnier.
Another thing. You're
so
even
this
drunker.
This was a fight. It was with the top of the roof, and it was Shaq and.
Oh,
was
yeah.
it Oscar? What's his name?
Oscar De La Hoya.
Oscar. Right? And I'm going as a. I got a free ticket. I'm like, whoa, I'm going to see Oscar De La Hoya and Shaq fight. Flacking back my
wait,
flask.
Wait, Shaq
Shaquille O'Neal. It was a versus, right?
Yeah, it was a versus event. And
okay, because this is
pairing,
us saying, I'm like,
it
okay.
Odd, it was odd
is
pairing.
There a different Shaq?
Yeah, okay. It was Shaquille O'Neal, who's 7'2", and Oscar De La Hoya, who is not.
And I would think that all Shaq would have to do is step on him, and there was no boxing.
You would
place.
Think.
De La
Did
Hoya,
you see that?
Yeah, De La Hoya is a trained fighter, so it's not that easy of a fight to handicap.
You'd okay. think mm-hmm. he'd do like that big brother thing and hold his, but he was so clumsy.
Mm-hmm.
In comparison to him, it was yeah. strange.
And
it was
De La Hoya
like
was extremely Rawr. Fast. And,
yeah,
and kept hitting him in his nether regions.
And yeah. so when Shaq fell out, you took his
no.
Place.
another singer, which probably should be remain nameless, thought that singing outside.
Oh, I thought you were
going
to say which should remain nameless. Which blah blah blah.
But and everyone, no,
it was a trained singer.
It was a trained singer had mm-hmm. decided it was probably not a good idea. At the last minute, and it was a televised event. And so I was walking, drinking my thing, and I saw Holly Madison. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, I'm gonna go see Holly, because she was standing over getting interviewed or something. So I'm saying hello to Holly. Meanwhile, what I didn't know is the anthem singer had dropped out. The guy had turned to Flynn
Steve
and
Wood.
Said,
Steve Flynn, another
what
one
happens?
Of our, all
and
of our
he
friends.
Goes, she could do it. So this guy turns to me, and I'm no, he goes like, can you sing the national anthem? And I said, easier than I can
walk at this point?
No. No problem at all.
Easier than I can
walk. As
long
as I'm not doing,
my drink
doing
down.
It while driving.
This
yeah.
guy with earphones on gave me a microphone. I crawled up and the Tom and Tom, the VP and president of the hotel at the time, all of a sudden look up and they're like, what's singer doing in the ring? Singing the anthem. Boop, belted it out. Like, no. And I look back and think, what?
That's guts.
Never mind what I was thinking. What the heck yeah. was he thinking?
I mean, because that is notoriously one of the most difficult songs to sing, and especially
hard song
on the line.
To remember the lyrics to.
And Christina Aguilera.
So I'm notoriously yeah. bad at, that is the only song. I truly, truly love singing that song, and I'd take it to heart, but.
Now, if
I
you
did,
had not had a couple cocktails in you, I still believe that you would have gone up and done
oh,
it.
I totally would have.
Yeah. You didn't
totally
need the liquid courage.
No.
You are one of the most fearless women I know.
It was great, and then I got to watch the fight, and it was, but that was it's pretty cool. Sporting events, the anthem is probably among the highest of coolest gigs I have ever done.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned you have had trouble before with lyrics. Seriously,
oh, I'm
I know
horrible
you've carried
lyrics
up at informal events. Did it at all occur to you that you might lose them in any time, and not
no.
only this time, any time in the anthem?
No, when I am, you know, preparing for it, I make sure that I go through it in my head. I've never messed them up. Yeah. But at that point, I was like, what? Can I? I don't believe there's anything I can't do right now.
Except for drive.
I sang the Canadian national anthem.
Right?
I was so confident.
Like, oh, Canada, I'll do it.
Sure. De La Hoya, the Mexican.
And speaking of sporting events or sports in general, you are also someone who... again, when I first met you, not knowing that I would later years down the line become as close of friends with you.
Engaged.
As we are, get to be married. That you have a baseball card. And what is very, very funny is that I am cleaning up my office, which I don't do very often because I'm a little bit of a pack rat. And I come across these baseball cards from a fantasy calendar probably in about, oh, maybe 2006, 2007. And there you are in a locker room. In a thong, not naked, you're not showing any parts, and you are like holding on to like you like have like a football helmet. I'm like, are you kidding me? Steph has a baseball card.
A baseball card. I had a poker chip, and I've had a slot machine.
Do you have them? I mean, do you have?
I have a picture of them, but I don't have them.
You should at least have the felt.
I'm way too cheap.
Like, I took a picture. That's
oh
good.
Yeah, I was on the table.
Yeah,
I was on the table too. Yeah.
And was this all at the Luxor during fantasy?
It was at the Lux. Yeah, all of those were at the Luxor.
Now, you were one of those people in town, which is a rarity, that you were actually born here.
Yes.
You went to Gorman. You are born and raised. Your family is from here. So you literally grew up in the Las Vegas environment, as mm-hmm. to most of us are. You know, we can consider ourselves locals if we lived here over a decade, but we really aren't. You know, you are the real deal. So now, I mean, was there any other option for you than to go into living? Do you think it was the environment that you lived in? Or do you think if you would have grown up in... I'll pick Idaho since I'm sitting next to Katz. Do you think that if you grew up in Idaho that you still singing would have been it? Or do you think it was the environment you grew up in?
I think that's when I was young what I wanted to do. And being from here since and Katz and I have talked about it. It's just an occupation. It's an occupation that you have. Nobody is starving to dance here. You don't have dancers or singers that are cocktail waitressing at the same time to do their craft. It's just a regular job that you keep forever, and you have a house, and you have kids, and you have a dog. So it didn't seem anything different being from this little bubble is so far different than people coming into it and thinking, oh, wow, being from here and thinking this is the norm and moving out is very strange. It's a little. There's a little shell shock.
You went to New York for a period of time.
I went to New. What, I went to like? New York for a little. It was. I really like New York because it seemed to be like Vegas, where there was a lot of people. Only the difference I found was these people live here. These people live here. There's a lot of them in little neighborhoods, and in Vegas you just don't.
Yeah.
You have Elvis married to a dog next door and nobody cares.
Yeah. It's just a different way.
It's so different.
Now, but I know since you moved out and you did other things, you also did some things in LA and are in Reno, other places that you've done a lot of stuff. But we actually had a funny connection. Last night we were all at Tiger Martinez's house for the second anniversary.
And there is proof.
There for the second anniversary of Vegas the Show. A fantastic show
Yay,
in town. And
phenomenal.
And so, but what was so funny is we ended up in this conversation with Tiger that, unbeknownst to us, again, prior to this, that you, this guy, second guy I ever kissed in high school, like probably my second boyfriend ever, went on to be a producer of Rock of Ages, Book of Mormon, the on and on and on. I came in, You're in Town, all of these incredible shows. And that Tiger and you both worked for him in a show. Mm-hmm. That it, I guess kind of what my point is that with Vegas and the Vegas entertainment mm-hmm. community, that it doesn't matter if you go to New York or that you do ever, if you perform in Vegas, you pretty much, it's very incestuous that everybody kind of knows and works with everybody. Do you think that's the same?
Oh, the circles are very small.
Yeah, so, but I mean, but do you think that that's the same? Like, so I guess that was my whole point in the question. Yeah. Like, obviously in LA, I don't know if that's the case. I mean,
It's very, entertainment. I mean, you know each other because there's, you know, however many degrees of separation. But in Vegas, I have found it's much more family. If there's an audition, you call who's going. In L.A., people go to auditions for free classes, and you don't tell people when it's, you know, there's an audition. Yeah. And you are very much a type. That's what you are promoting. And the lines to blur, it's a very blurry line that you're not really that person. Mm-hmm. In Vegas, clearly... You're walking around in rhinestones and topless and Elvis, you are not Cat that.
Does.
If you're lucky. Yeah. that's Cat just does. The grocery store.
Exactly.
I got to do this, Steph and Trish. You're listening to Cats with a Dish, John Katz-Lamidas with Tricia McCrone and Stephanie Diana Sanchez. She's performing July 19th at the Courtyard at House of Blues. One of my favorite stories of anybody in Las Vegas is your first job at Bob Stupak's Vegas World.
That's some fine work. Mighty fine work.
99 cent show. And it was called Hallelujah Las Vegas. Hallelujah Las Vegas.
Hallelujah Las Vegas.
Yes. Hallelujah, and it was a dollar show.
It was a 99-cent show.
Or a 99
Hello,
cent
do
show.
Not overcharge.
And the point was that the penny went back to the ticket holder to start playing penny slots.
Ah. You got change for that 99
Exactly.
Cents.
Get you going playing. Now, at any point,
you
tell a great story about Stupak and him being in the little showroom there and taking his shoes off and holes in his socks and his toes sticking out and chain smoking.
Well, that was at the bar because when I started, it was very much you go, you do your show, and then you go out to
but
the bar.
You were underage at this time, right? Weren't you?
16.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Really?
Sorry.
Since imploded Vegas rules. Okay. I think you're all right. Yeah.
These rules were not in effect at the time of this employment.
My daughter already knows these stories. I have nothing to hide.
Who's older than you?
Who's older than me, yeah.
In that show.
Probably, yeah.
What would you think about her being in that environment?
I would think, have fun, sister.
And she's an incredible performer, your daughter.
She is. She's a little dancer. She'll be a senior this year. She's about to take off to Europe. Whatever.
Mm-hmm. I know.
And but yeah, though I've never been topless, Shelby wanted to be topless, right on, sister. Whatever she wanted to do, she has been involved closely with my life and my career. That seems normal. And from a baby, she knew, you know, that's Doug's husband, Kevin. Not knowing any different. She knew that was a drag queen. She knew that my friends were topless. She knew all of that just was absolutely normal. So it was probably bad parenting, but
no, you guys have such a great relationship. You've been in a lot of shows recently at Ovation at Green Valley Ranch, which have been incredible
with Ragtag Entertainment.
Yes, with Ragtag, and you do a lot of covers. Now you have the new album coming out with this new show. What's it going to be? Is it going to be at the House of Blues? Is it going to be a little bit a mixture of covers and your originals?
It's going to be all originals. And actually, I've done the CD of Small Town. The stuff that I am doing, if it's all done, because some of it's not even finished, it's going to be all new stuff. And they're all originals. And it's being a large family and part of a cast, and you observe a lot. And a lot of the songs in the first CD are, you know, you observe, and they sound like a love song or a breakup song. And the cold, hard truth is I've really never been through that.
Yeah.
I mean, as it's just sad to say, considering how many marriages and last names I have. But have had so many friends that have gone through that, and it's so painful. Mm-hmm. But the songs are actually, they're like written about my career and have nothing to do with a breakup. So it's funny to see how people react, because you hear music how you want to hear.
You interpret
hear music.
It the way how it applies to your life and how it's,
Where do you go to write? How do you write songs?
I started
Vienna with Cats and the Marina Brothers.
I want to go to Vienna with two cats. A lot of the times, this stuff that I have now, I didn't write with my brother Rico. The CD before, most of that was with Rico. And he'd sometimes give me music. But it all started with I was working around the clock for years. And it was literally around the clock. And to keep myself awake, I would make up songs. And that would help. And then whatever I was going through, everybody's like, oh, my God, you're just even keel. You never get upset. And I think it's just naturally an easy way to just get rid of
everything.
You are
very even keel. I've noticed that.
And then I'm the bulldog. Remember, I'm not the Zen.
Yeah, exactly. You're the bulldog. I think I refer to you as the bulldog that's just going to have my back at all times. I think that's how I described you, which is the biggest compliment in the world, by the way. But
it's just time. It's just time alone. And then sometimes I get very involved in the emotion of a song, and that helps it come out. But they always, I don't know if dark is the right word, but I have a lot of satirical songs, but I don't have a lot of like Colby Calais songs.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm a very skipping through the flowers kind of a person.
Yeah, you are. You're very upbeat and you're very positive about everything. You really are. And I think it's a compliment that you can give any singer is I look at a show. I'm just going to say The Voice just because it's a popular show out that's right now, that you can hear CeeLo Green's voice. You can hear Christina Aguilera's voice and you can hear Adam Levine's voice and you immediately know that that's who's singing. They have very distinctive qualities to their voice that just are unlike anybody else's voice. And you have that kind of that in you are your oh, voice dish. Is so like beautiful and just you.
I don't know if it's beautiful.
Well, I mean, you got a lot of rock singular, and soul. You got a lot of rock and soul. You know, but it's like, I for example, at Ragtag, I heard you sing Gethsemane. Mm-hmm. From Jesus Christ Superstar, and I swear, I sat there, my mom was with me, the two of us are like, every cocktail napkin we could find, we're bawling our eyes out, because it was just heart-wrenching and beautiful, and you just put so much emotion, your voice is just so distinctive, that you just really are a joy to watch, even though a lot of this, you know, a lot of the stuff that you say, it does have a lot of emotion behind it. It's, you know, if anyone has not heard Stephanie sing, I mean, come out and sing, because it is a voice like you are not going to hear anywhere else.
As good as it gets here or anywhere. You wrote a song about your daughter.
I did.
On Small Town.
It's called Rainbow.
Rainbow. Mm-hmm. Tell me about the process of that song, because that was written about 2-3 years ago.
That was written quite, that's a long story, but I tried to make my schedule around the kids, which was difficult because my son is almost 24 and he's autistic.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought it's Benjamin.
Benjamin.
The great Benjamin.
We love Benjamin and Shelby. Shout out to Benjamin and Shelby.
If I could be with them when they were awake, then somehow I was cool. I was a good parent, and I'm with them when they're awake, and I was with Benjamin. I picked him up from school, took him to school, never rode a bus.
And you did all this as a single parent pretty much the entire time. For a good part of the time.
Good,
I mean, obviously you were married and had a thing, but as far as just to let, as a woman, you are an amazing woman aside from being a talented person, that you pretty much have financially and all that, raise these two amazing children on your own.
Financially, I've raised them. And I came from a mother that's completely opposite on a schedule that's mine. But, you know, she makes you and she's perfect. And I'm thinking, as long as I'm there. So the song came from every time that she'd go to sleep, I'd go to work. Mm-hmm. So, you know, when she was younger and I'll be back, don't you worry. If you wake up and I'm not here, I'll be here. I will always be right here. So the song is very much, I have to go away. And then, like, if she'd wake up in the middle of the night when I'd come home and we'd be awake at that point and everybody else in the house was asleep.
Yeah.
Whoever I happened to be married to at the time.
But now, I not to bring up a sad subject, but now you've had a very, very rough year. And the fact that you've had a loss of two of your family members, would this be something that, because you are so family oriented, like, I just love how your family is the most important thing in the world to you. Could you see yourself, your next album, writing a lot about them?
Well, actually, one of the songs that I'm going to attempt is a song I wrote that was at my mother's funeral, and it's called Just Another Day. And it was very much, she had seven children. She was a hypochondriac's dream. She had everything wrong with her. She beat the crap out of cancer and would still, if my brother hadn't caught it, and she was just not going to let him beat her.
Yeah.
So she's going to go and take care of him. But she never complained about being tired. I never once heard her complain about the kids being too much. Nothing. Everything was fine. It's just a day. We got tomorrow. Every day's a present. Unwrap it. You appreciate it. If you don't like it, you get another one tomorrow. Yeah. So it's called Just Another Day. And so that's actually one of the songs I'm going to sing.
Oh,
and this will be at the courtyard?
That'll be at the courtyard.
All right. Stephanie Diana Sanchez. You can find her, the CD now has been out for more than a year, Small Town.
StephanieSanchezMusic.com.
An Ode to a Beautiful Woman in a Beautiful City, one of her treasures, Stephanie Diana Sanchez. Thanks for coming down again. My July treasure. 19th, Courtyard, House of Blues.
We love you.
If I wind up broke, well, I'll always remember that I had a swinging time. Everything that I got, baby, look, please let the dice stay hot. Let me shoot the seven with every shot. So be the